Oh, it's so good to be back here with y'all. It's amen. We have the natural family, and we have the spiritual family. And it's so good to spend time with y'all. It's great to be back. Pastor Henry, I've heard, and people have testified that he's doing a great job and everything, and I'm just grateful that I've been invited to come back and speak to y'all today. I think he mentioned in the notes that he sent out that I was going to be sharing on what's been happening down at the coast. You know, we're down there suffering for Jesus. You know that, right? Rub it in, right?
But but
we've been having a great time. But we've ministered to a number of people, and we've enjoyed that. But really what this time has been is for me to be prepared for the next assignment that we've been given. And it's a different role that we're going to be taking on. And so the Lord has been showing me in a wonderful way how there's no condemnation. But he's been correcting me and showing me that some of the things that I had begun to believe because I looked at circumstances were not true. Yeah. It wasn't truth. Because the Word of God is the only thing that's really truth. And so if it's any kind of belief that I have that is based upon anything other than the Word of God, then it's considered unbelief. Amen. So before I forget about it, I just wanted to thank everybody here, especially your leadership here with Les and Marie, and of course Pastor Henry. He's a great pastor, and I understand that he's been growing as a person and also as a pastor, and that's awesome. And y'all gave me a lot of grace when I was learning how to pastor, and not that I ever attained, but at least, you know, like Andrew says, at least I lived. But thank you for Mike and Ellie setting up and things, and then Danny and Nancy in ministering of the word, along with singing and music and praise and worship, and Miriam. We thank all of y'all for participating. And we thank you for your support too, for prayer and financially too. Okay? Thank you. From the bottom of our hearts. But we've really been enjoying this time of ministry to us. And that's the only way I can describe it. Sure, we've ministered to other people, but the thing is that we've... this is, believe it or not, this is the first time since probably 1974 that I haven't been on call. And whenever you're on call 24/7, 365, to have to come out of a sleep or whatever at times and go and do whatever it is that you're on call for, after a while it gets old. In the Lord, it doesn't get old, though. But, you know, we're celebrating in a few days Independence Day. And that was independence from Britain and their control. And whenever you look at it in the spirit realm, every moment of every day, we can celebrate independence from the flesh and the control of the flesh. Yes. Because he set us free from that. Now, everything that Christ has done for us was done 2,000 years ago. That doesn't mean that we don't have any type of revelation today, any type of interaction with Him. I'm just saying that every single benefit that we have as Christians that we can enjoy today has already been given to us by Jesus Christ. His finished work, that's the reason it's called finished work. Because it's done. Now, the question is, why aren't we all operating and receiving and enjoying all of those benefits 24/7, 365? Have any of y'all ever thought about that? I've got two hands on that one. Right? I've thought about that. Now, whenever things don't appear in our lives, and I'll speak about me, whenever I don't see things happening in the natural like I see them in the Scripture, then I wonder, well, is it God or is it me? Well, I can tell you from personal experience, it was me. I didn't understand some things, or I didn't do some things, or I didn't believe some things that were truth to allow Him to flow through me to produce what it is that I saw in the Scripture. So I don't know about y'all, but that's about me personally, okay? And if the shoe fits, you can wear it, all right? So that's one of the things that the Lord has been really impressing on my heart, is about receiving everything that He is so that I can live the abundant life that Jesus has promised that He came to give us. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Everybody wants that. Now, I'm going to tie this in with what I've previously taught in here over and over and over again. And we're going to take some thread and we're going to sew a lot of different teachings together today. And I believe that it's going to all come together because the Holy Spirit is going to give each one of us new revelation. You're going to hear some of the same things you've heard over and over and again because Pastor Henry always preaches the gospel. The gospel is in everything. Everything to the believers, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. That's hearing the gospel over and over and over. The finished work of Jesus, what He's accomplished, who He is to us, and who we are in Him. And many people today, including myself, I used to think that I needed to live for God. And it sounds religious. But really, His desire is to live through us. Big difference. And whenever you see that difference and get a revelation of it, it changes your whole outlook on the Christian life. Because then you'll start seeing results. Then you'll start seeing who you really are. Because He flows through us in power. Like the Apostle Paul says, I come to you not in word only, but in power. And that's what the Lord has placed in me, is a revelation, so that I can operate in the office that He's called me to. Today, we're going to talk about receiving. Receiving. You know, if everything that Jesus did that's been made available to us just automatically happened, then you wouldn't see anybody sick. You wouldn't have any tragedies going on. The earth would be heaven on earth, literally, right? Now, is that God's will today? In the Lord's Prayer, what does it say? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And His will is always good. His will for everyone, is that they live the abundant life in Christ Jesus. To live the God kind of life here on this earth and forever. That's His will. So, we're faced with a situation now. Am I going to make up a doctrine from what I see not happening or happening? Or am I going to go to God's Word and find out the truth of what He said that He's done, past tense? It's already done. It's already been given to us. But if there's some reason that it's not manifesting, then we can investigate what the Word says as to how He says we're supposed to operate in this Christian life so that we do live in that abundant life that He's promised us, right? So, I want to take you back to whenever you were first born again. I can remember it. And I was 11 years old. That was just a short time ago, right? So I'm only 29. But the thing about it is, I had heard about Jesus dying on the cross for my sin and all the sin of the whole world. I'd heard it a number of times. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and I heard it, but I didn't really hear it. I can say, yeah, I know all about that. I've heard that before. That was head knowledge. That was mental assent. But it had not become real to me. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It says that we cannot come into a relationship with God unless we're drawn by the Spirit of God. And so He made it real to me. And I believed and trusted Him as my personal Savior. And I was born again. I became one of the people that was counted in the as a child of God into the family of God from that moment on. And I realized that my sins had been forgiven. And by that time, you know, you think, well, you're only 11 years old, but I committed plenty of sin. Okay? I didn't realize at that time that committing sin didn't make me a sinner. It's because I was born that way. Because of Adam. You know, old Adam. I know probably some people can't wait to get to heaven just so they can get a hold of Adam. But it won't matter then. Because we've already been set free. And the Savior is so real to us that we didn't want to think about Adam. Jesus is awesome. Now you think about it. When were our sins forgiven? It was 2,000 years ago, right? Now, what happened to our sin? It says that Jesus took sin, all sin, for all men, past, present, and future, upon Himself at the cross. Because up until the time that He went to the cross, the law of sin and death was working. The punishment of sin is death. Separation from God and even physical death. And it said that He took upon Himself all sin. And He said whenever He went to the grave, sin stayed in the grave, but He arose victorious to newness in life is how we look at it. But He arose to go back with the Father. Victorious over death, hell, the grave, and sin, right? So our sin 2,000 years ago were paid for on the body of Jesus. He was punished instead of us being punished by the law of sin and death, of you sin, you die. There's punishment for it, right? So He satisfied that punishment perfectly. In fact, He took more. It said He took upon Himself more to make sure no one would ever think that anything was still owed. That's the reason He endured everything that He endured. And once He had suffered completely, and every sin had been dealt with and punished immensely upon His body, then He says, it is finished. And then He gave up His Spirit. Meaning, Jesus was more significant, was actually more powerful than any sin. Because He took upon Himself everything until it was drained. The sin swamp was drained. There was nothing left to be punished. He took upon Himself every punishment on our behalf. It's dealt with. It's done. Okay? So the Scriptures say that whenever He died, it says that we died with Him. Whenever He arose, it says that we arose with Him to newness of life in Christ Jesus. And that newness of life in Christ Jesus means that as He is, so are we in this world. We're going to make it through this. I've already got chill bumps. We're going to make it through. So, you think about it. Well, how is that possible? How can He actually do something for me 2,000 years ago and give it to me, and today, whenever I live a life and I miss the mark, which is the definition of sin, how can He forgive that? How is that forgiven? Doesn't that affect my relationship with Him? What is sin doing today to me whenever I mess up? Is it forgiven only after I ask for forgiveness? Or has it already been forgiven? It was already forgiven 2,000 years ago. That's what the Bible says. That's truth. Now, my body might not be thinking that. I might not even be believing that in my heart. But that's truth. So he says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Then he said another thing at the end of that. He said, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we're going to talk about that some too. But he's saying he does not ever want us to identify with our behavior again. Let that sink in a moment. Now, I just said identify with our sin. It's about identity. Your missionaries, Mickey and Susan Cartagena, they have a ministry called Christian Seeking Identity. And I can tell you point blank, the Christian life, the successful, abundant life, Christian life, is all about identity. What are we going to identify with today? Are we going to identify with Jesus and His complete, finished, perfect work on behalf of us? Or are we going to identify with our flesh? Are we going to identify with the circumstances? Are we going to identify with what other people say bad about us or even good about us? Because we all have good qualities. We all have some that are questionable too. I can raise both hands on that, okay? But the thing is that the sin issue has been settled. Would everyone agree with that? In Christ Jesus, the sin issue has been dealt with. In fact, it's been dealt with so completely in God's mind that He says, I remember your sins and iniquities no more. He says that I've cast them as far from you as far as the east is from the west. They've been dealt with. Sin is not an issue for God anymore. Because the punishment has been satisfied on the body of Jesus. And there's no punishment left over for us today. And in fact, He doubled down. He says, not only are your sins forgiven, but I'm giving you the gift of righteousness. Right standing with God. We can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy in time of need. Because we are considered righteous in His sight. It's a gift that Jesus has given to us. So our Heavenly Father now is not Almighty God. It's Daddy God. Daddy. Because of His love toward us, He sent Jesus to take care of everything we could. And it's called grace. He's given us His power to accomplish in us everything that we could not do for ourselves and give it to us as a gift. That's grace. Divine influence upon the heart and its effect in the life is another definition. Grace. Isn't He awesome?
Yes.
That's how much He loves us. And everything that Jesus did was not done out of pity. It was done out of love. He went to the cross willingly. Not grudgingly. Not out of compulsion by the Father saying, you better get on that cross. No. He willingly went to the cross. Why? Because He looked forward to see what benefit it would give us. That's love. Love reaches out to another person and wants the best for them. Even if it means to our detriment, we want the best for other people. That's the love that God has. The unconditional love that God's shown to us in Christ Jesus. Getting back to identity. Some people have tremendous things that have come against them. Some financial things. Some health things. Some with relationships that have been fouled up. We all face challenges in this life, right? Now, those things can change. But more importantly, we can change the way that we look at them, the way we deal with them. Look at the Apostle Paul. Did the Apostle Paul have an easy life? Did he have some circumstances that maybe we hadn't gone through yet? How many times was he beaten with rods? That's where they turn you upside down on a rack and beat your legs and feet with rods until they break all the bones. Do you know what he did after that? He walked to the next town and preached Jesus. Shipwrecked. You know. I think he was attacked by a lion too on the road. We've been attacked by a lot of different things, but most of it's been criticism. But stuff happens in life. Now the most important thing is not the stuff, but how we look at it. How we identify with whatever it is that we're going to identify whenever we're going through the stuff of life. Right? Would you agree with that? Now, some people today, because they've been through so much stuff, they fear. There's a fear. But it's an infirmity of a person's belief system that says, I don't know if I can face the future anymore because all of the things bad in my life, it seems like everything I do turns to you know what. This came against me. That didn't turn out right. This won't turn out right. You know, they want good. They want good. They want the things that the Bible says that we have in Christ Jesus. They want that. They desire that. But because of this fear in their life, they actually believe that bad is going to continue to happen. So their identity has been shaped by the things that they've gone through in life. And they have a belief system that says, I can't expect good anymore. Their belief is that no matter what they do, that bad's going to happen. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's what the scriptures say. What is hope? In the scriptures, what does hope actually mean? Confident expectation of good. Daddy God is the God of hope. He's the one who is good. And He's the one who has already prepared good for us through the life and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has already prepared good for us. He's given it to us in the finished work of Christ, right? So it's there, it's available for us. How do we get that to work in our lives, right? That's the question. Let's go back to an Old Testament verse. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Right? Now, as fear takes hold of a person's heart, they begin to believe that, oh, this happened and that happened, so then this is going to turn out bad too. Even though they want good, they want it. But it seems like just as they're about to achieve something, it gets wiped away again and again. But you see, Jesus took care of all that stuff. Fear. What did he say? Fear has torment, right? But he says perfect love casts out fear. Who loves perfectly? Jesus. He loves us perfectly. He loves us perfectly. So, do you think maybe if that person that's dealing with this fear of all this junk that has happened over and over bad in their life gets a revelation that He's a God of hope, that they don't need to fear the future anymore? Because the future is bright in Christ Jesus. He's the God of hope. And He has seen into your future and it is bright. You need sunglasses. Hope, positive expectation of good. You can go through life expecting good because He is good. And He's in you and you in Him. And it's got to turn out that way. He's full of power to make things right that are not right. Amen?
Amen.
It's a matter of getting that power turned loose on your behalf, right? Is everybody following me? Okay. We all have stuff that we deal with. But it has been dealt with in Christ Jesus. So we don't need to get into the mully grubs anymore. Anybody know what Mully Groves is? That's whenever you have a pity party and you invite everybody to come and nobody shows up but you. Been there and done that too. Now, let's talk about something that a lot of people in the past have had some situations with. And that has to do with health. People say, well, I believe God didn't heal me. I asked him to heal me, and he didn't. So therefore, sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. That's how I believe, because that's what I see. Or how about this? All the miracles, things and healings and this, that, and the other went away whenever the apostles, the last apostles died. The 12 apostles. How about that? How about this? God's punishing you so you can learn something. He's teaching you something with this sickness. Now, I'm throwing out all these things that people have come up with to justify or to explain away why some people got healed, so to speak, and some people didn't. Let me ask you this. Whenever Jesus went to the cross, what else did he do other than take our sins away, which is awesome? Did he do some other things on the way to the cross? Amen. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, right? He took upon himself, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, right? Isaiah 53. Let's look in Matthew 8, verse 16. It said, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He took and bore. Right? Past tense. This happened 2,000 years ago, right? Now, put on your thinking cap. If sin was dealt with 2,000 years ago, if I sin today, is it my sin or was it belonging to Jesus because he took it 2,000 years ago and he dealt with it? If he took upon himself sin and it died whenever he died in the grave, it was dealt with forever. And it says that he took and bore our infirmities. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Were healed. Past tense. When did he take upon himself sickness and disease? 2,000 years ago. Whenever we have symptoms in our body, is it our sickness and disease or did he bear it? He bore it 2,000 years ago. It's not ours today. Let me ask you another question. When were our bodies healed? 2,000 years ago. Now, the premise is that he heals today. He actually did it 2,000 years ago. Whenever we receive it into our flesh, that's whenever we say we're healed. Now, this goes to another thing about believing, our mindset. If you go to a doctor, you're expecting the doctor to examine you according to what's wrong with you, right? That's how they're trained. They're trained to look at symptoms, make a diagnosis, and have a prognosis, and then treat whatever it is that they find out that's wrong. And then you say, whenever I don't see the symptoms anymore, then I'm healed. That's not the way that Jesus has set things up. Because he knows that the more we identify with the sickness and disease, something that's wrong with us, either mental or physical, that we'll take on that as our identity. And you hear people say, my cancer, my diabetes, my headache, my migraines, my this, my that. And they identify with that problem. It actually becomes a mountain to them. Something that is huge in their life. You remember Jesus speaking, saying, if you speak to the mountain. In our thought process, in our belief, in our heart. Our heart is our belief center. In our heart, anything that tries to rise above and become bigger than what Jesus did becomes an identity to us, right? Are we communicating? So, whenever we elevate physical or even mental symptoms more than what Jesus is as Lord and Savior, healer, that's called unbelief. And whenever a person does that, then they pray, well, I asked God to heal me, but He didn't. That's called unbelief. That's a prayer of unbelief. There's no condemnation in that. I've done it. There's no condemnation. He's saying, I have a way that you can receive, and this is how you receive. Where's that found in Scripture? I don't want you to think this is a formula, okay? This is not a formula. This is just, I'm going to walk you through the Scriptures because that's the only way we can see who Jesus is through the Scriptures, and then it become a revelation by the Holy Spirit giving us that personal revelation and that personal relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and with our Heavenly Father. Through relationship is how everything works. That's how we receive, okay? I'll tell you that up front. Relationship is how we receive. You say, well, I've already heard that. Well, I have too. But it's different now whenever I look at it than whenever I looked at it before. And I believe that the Lord hadn't finished with it yet, and I believe I'll still get more and more revelation. Now, most people have just associated this with the born-again experience. But after today, you're going to see it and have revelation. This has to do with all of Christian life. So, in verse 8, it says, but what does it say? Romans 10, verse 8. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if we confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. While we're on that, every one of y'all are preachers. You're just sharing how you received Jesus Christ, and you got a new born again spirit, and you'll forever be with Him. Because salvation is just receiving who He is, the life of Christ into your spirit man. That's real simple, isn't it? Now, we'll go back and look at each one of these verses and expound a little bit about some of the definitions. It says, the word is near you in your heart, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. All right, we've identified the heart as being our belief center, a belief system. The part of us that they say is the center of a person. It's how we live. Some people, like in the real world, they call it the subconscious. It's operating all the time, whether we're thinking about it or not. It's operating continually. And it's bringing those things to pass which you believe in. So if you're believing in unbelief, those things are being manifest in your life too. Did you hear me? If you're believing in things that are not true, just as the person that's operating in fear, something bad's going to happen. They always say that they happen in threes. This was the second one. Oh no, when is the next shoe going to drop? That third thing going to bad happen to me? Oh, I don't know, but if I can get up the next day. That's the mindset that that takes on. Now, if the heart is believing that, then circumstances will arrange themselves so that it does happen. Because faith works. You're just faithing for negative. You're faithing for destruction. You're not believing in God is good. The God of hope, the positive expectation of good, looking forward to every day in Christ Jesus because He's only given us good. We can receive good all the time. Even if stuff happens, it doesn't matter. Romans 8:28. Even those bad things that occur to us, He can turn it around for our good. So don't worry about it. Don't worry, be happy. Amen? That's how awesome He is. So, the next thing, next verse. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Let's stop there. What does confess mean? Speaking the same thing, homologeo in Greek. It means you're on the same wavelength with God about what's going on. His Word says this, and therefore you're in line with that. You're agreeing with that. You're saying the same thing about you and your circumstances. What if everything is going downhill fast? Are you going to agree with that? Are you going to identify with that? Or are you going to agree with God's Word that says, hey, you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. He's going ahead to your future. He's got a bright future ahead. He's already made the mountains plains on your behalf. He's with you. He's all powerful. In your strength, you can't do anything about that bad junk in your life. He's already done it in Christ Jesus. Trust in Him. So He's saying, confess, meaning the same thing that I have said about it, you agree with it. You say the same thing out of your mouth whenever you're faced with that, right? Okay, and then He said, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. The resurrection. Has there ever been any more power released from God to execute something in the history of mankind? All of the demonic power was against Jesus coming out of the grave. And yet He came out. That's power. And we look at bad stuff like death. Oh, well, you know. Whenever you're dead, that's it. No coming back. Yes, there is. For us as believers, it's just a transition. For those that don't know Christ, it is bad. It is death, literally. Spiritual death. But for those of us in Christ, it's just a transition from this life into the next. That's why we have celebrations of life. That's why we can actually be joyous. I know that sounds morbid to some people, but the thing is, it says for us not to be down in the dumps. Sure, we're going to miss the people in the physical, but we're going to see them again. We're going to have a party forever in their presence, as well as the Lord's. So there's nothing really to get us down. Whenever we look at it, identify with the truth in that situation. We'll mourn, but we can get through the mourning of our physical presence being gone in that person. Whenever Jesus was raised from the dead, you're rehearsing that victory over sin, over sickness and disease. Here's another one, I'll throw it in. Jesus became poor that we might be made rich. And I'll tell you another thing. Relationships. We had victory in that too. And it's not trying to change the other person. You remember what I said? As He is, so are we in this world. Jesus had some conflicts with other people, particularly the Pharisees. But you know why he dealt with them the way that he did? Because he loved them unconditionally. He was doing that and say, hey, look, you're going down the wrong road. Repent. Repent means have a change of heart and mind. You're going this way, turn around and go back the other way. Halt. The road's been washed out. Don't try to drive through here. You're going to end up into the drink. Stop. Examine what's going on. That's what he was doing with them. He loved them too. He talked kind of straight with them, but they didn't understand anything else. He did everything that he could to help them to repent and to receive the kingdom. That's what he referred to as the gospel then, the kingdom. The kingdom is where the king is in place and everybody is subject to his authority and they have a great life. Because whenever the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is king, then everything is good because he is good and his love endures forever. Love and mercy endures forever. Everything that he does is because he loves us. He wants the best for us. Amen? So, can you see how the picture is being made now? Whenever we have a symptom in our body or another circumstance, Jesus has already said, the answer is right here in me. It's already done. Because he lives inside of your spirit man, he's saying, this is how I've made it to happen. You believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That word saved, sozo in the Greek, soteria is the noun, salvation. What does that actually mean? It means make whole, to deliver, to make sound, to make whole. All of these things. It also means the born again experience that a lot of people have said that this verse pertains to, and it does. You were delivered from the demonic realm. We were saved from ourselves. That God that sat on the throne, that flesh person that used to sit there, make all the decisions. If it's to be, it's up to me. And I've said that too. But you see, the Lord doesn't hold that against me anymore. Because I don't depend on the flesh anymore. Just like Paul, he says, the flesh is like everything that I've done in the flesh. I've attained all these degrees, so to speak. I've attained all this knowledge, this position. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I count it all dung according to the knowledge of Christ. In comparison, it's nothing. The flesh can do nothing. But he says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. What does he believe? He actually believes in Jesus, who is all truth. So we're not believing for anything. We're just believing in Jesus Christ that he has done everything on our behalf. It's done. It's finished. It's over with. It's ours. 2,000 years ago, it was ours. That makes you go tilt a little bit whenever you think in the natural. But it's okay. You'll get over it. If you know that you got born again, then you know that everything else is yours too. Because it happened 2,000 years ago also. So today, whenever you look at this verse, you say, okay, I've got some symptoms. Am I going to agree with the symptoms? Am I going to make them bigger and bigger and bigger by confessing them over and over and over? I got this, I've got that. My blood pressure is so-and-so today. That's too high. I need to get an expert in this. Let me see. When can I get an appointment? Doctors are good. I'm not putting doctors down. I want you to understand that. They've kept a lot of Christians alive that otherwise would be dead. I think that they've sacrificed their families, a lot of them, for the sake of practicing medicine. Notice I said practicing. If they're honest with you, they ain't healed anybody. Jesus is our healer. They're practicing on you to see what works. Okay? Because everybody's a little bit different. Everybody responds to different drugs and different treatments different. So they're practicing and hoping they get the right combination. I'm not putting them down. It takes a lot of education. It takes a lot of commitment to be in that field. I commend them for it. And I'm thankful for them. Don't get me wrong. But see, there's a better way. As a Christian, that we've been given that the world has not been receiving. But it says that we can receive. We can receive the life of Christ out of our spirits into our flesh. That's actually what's happening whenever we take authority over disease and sickness. That's what ministers are doing. And each one of you, in case you didn't know it, you're not only preachers, you're ministers to one another and to the world. We're going to get through this. Man, I tell you, I'm happy. Okay. Now, it says in verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness." See, there's a reminder in there. Pastor Henry has been doing a series that's gone on and on righteousness. Righteousness. Right standing with God in a simple definition. He's given you that gift. To Him, you look to Him exactly like Jesus looks. Because it's Jesus' righteousness that's been given to you. Whenever you said, "Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. Come into my life and make me one with you." That's what happened. That gift of righteousness. So God sees you exactly the same today as He looks at Jesus and says, "That's my boy. That's my girl." You're pure. You're holy in His sight. Unblemished. Spotless. Because Jesus has made you that way by believing in Him as your Savior. You take upon Him His identity to yourself. Your identity is His now. You're in Christ Jesus. That's your identity. I don't care what I see in the mirror, the physical mirror. We see blemishes, right? Especially teenagers. They look at their face all the time, right? They see blemishes. God does not see any blemishes in us because He sees us perfect, holy, sanctified, and all those big words in Christ Jesus. We're perfect according to Him. Now, "And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So He says, if you believe in your heart the truth about this situation that you're looking at, what Christ has done on your behalf 2,000 years ago and given it to you 2,000 years ago, even before you were born. I know that makes a mind tilt just a little bit. But He's saying that you get the benefit of it today whenever you agree with it in your heart. The truth of who you really are in Christ Jesus. Because the gift that He gave you is everything that He is. Let me say that again. The gift that He has given you is Himself. And all that He is. Is Jesus sinless? Is Jesus healthy? Is Jesus righteous? You've been given His power because He's in you. It's not anything separated from Him, like I'm going to go by these precepts, this doctrine. I'm going to do A, B, C, and D, and it's going to make it happen in my life. I'm not saying that. It's all about relationships. And that relationship has to do with your relationship with Christ, seeing yourself in Christ Jesus. That's what operating after the Spirit is about and not after the flesh. And that's what the Lord told me a number of years back. He said, "I don't want you to ever see yourself separate from me again." In the Scriptures, whenever you read where Jesus was ministering, He said, "That's you ministering. See yourself ministering to other people, not the one that needs to be ministered to, because He is in you and you've been made." John 17, read it over and over. John 17, chapter 17. You've been made one with Him because you're in Christ Jesus. You've been seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. That's your true identity today. That's who you are. Now, what you're seeing in the flesh, it's a fact. Okay? We're not denying that. You have symptoms. And you can go to a doctor and he'll verify them. But they don't have to stay. Why? Because Jesus bore those things 2,000 years ago and He says, you don't have to receive that today. You can receive the truth into your heart, your belief system that agrees with me and confess it to those things, I've given you authority. And you can operate in your authority and release His life, His power, into your physical body to drive out all those symptoms. Even if you've had it for 20 years, it doesn't matter. It might have become a big mountain in your mind and become part of your belief system because, oh, I guess it just didn't work on this. I guess He meant everything but this. No, that's a lie. That's deception. And where does that come from? The father of lies, the devil. He's under your feet. He's defeated. Jesus took care of him a long time ago. We're above and not beneath, the head and not the tail, right? Thank you, Jesus. So in these scriptures here, He gives us information that the Holy Spirit, and I believe the Holy Spirit right now is speaking to everyone in here and in the sound of my voice on the internet, because I believe that there's an internet following also. And people desire truth. And I'm not saying I got all the truth, because I haven't. But I know that I know that I know that God is good and His mercy endures forever. And that He loves me and He's got my picture in His wallet. He's decided to love me even when I've been unlovely. And there's nothing going to change His mind. And He says, whenever you made Christ your Savior, you became one of my family. You're my son. And I love you just as much as I love Jesus. Do you realize that love is what caused Jesus to endure everything that He endured? Put it on a personal level. It was not for mankind that Jesus went to the cross. It was for each one of us individually. Because you see, He doesn't have the relationship with mankind. He has individual relationships. He came to live inside of us, in our spirit man, to give us everything that He is. So today, we get back to that question, how do we receive? How do we receive? Well, you've got what some people would say, well, this formula, you know, believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. Okay, people have thought that they've done that for a long time, and they haven't seen results. And I just gave you some hints. It's because they were not believing in truth. Remember, if you're not believing truth of what the Bible says about you have already been healed 2,000 years ago, and you're still thinking that because you see symptoms, you're still sick, you're not really agreeing with what God's Word says. I've been there and done that. But He says, whenever you can identify not with the problem, but with the promise, and Jesus is the promise, you're identifying with Him and His victory that has been accomplished on your behalf 2,000 years ago, then He says, you believe in Me, I have overcome the world. I've overcome everything that's coming against you. As you trust in Me and Me alone, not anything you can add to it. And I'm not saying if you go to the doctor, that's not going to negate everything. If you believe in the doctor, go ahead. It hasn't kept Jesus from operating in your life. If you need that at the time, do it. But whenever you get the revelation, and that's by the Spirit, you're opening yourself up for Him to change your heart to the truth of who you are in Christ Jesus, then it's a whole lot better to receive that way than for somebody to have to cut things out of you. They can just be spoken to and they have to leave, and they leave just like that. Now, healing is now. Some people receive over a period of time, but healing is now because it's been given to us 2,000 years ago. So you don't have to wait on it. Amen. Let's go to another scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now this is a good chapter to go through if you want to see the contrast of the law and the life of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. And it defines it because it says that the law is the ministry of death. The ministry of condemnation. But it was given, it's perfect, and it's to show us that we need a Savior. It's to shut the mouths of those that say, oh, I can live all the commandments. I've done them all. I can do it. You make a God of yourself whenever you do that, unknowingly. But that's what you're actually saying. Oh, yes, we can perform those, like the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. Oh, yes, we can perform. We can do that. Just tell us what to do. We'll handle it. We can be all that we can be. But here in verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Is that the will of God today for us? To be transformed into the same image as Christ, as He is, so are we in this world. Let's go back so you see another witness, okay? Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Is it His will that you be made conformed to the image of Christ and be just as Christ is on this earth? Yes. To be more than a conqueror? To live your life out in the abundant life that Christ has given you. Is that God's will?
Yes.
Amen. That's how He sees you. Now you say, well, how am I going to go about doing that? Well, we can't do it on our own, as it says, as by the Spirit. But you see, the Spirit has been given. One of his prime objectives is, it says, to lead us in all truth. One of the most important things after we're born again is to see who we are in Christ Jesus, because He lives right inside of us in our spirit man. Once we realize that, and that's our identity now, not what the flesh is telling us, but who He is inside of us, and that He has made us one with Himself so that we can operate after the Spirit and not after the flesh, because the power of the flesh has been broken in Christ Jesus. We're not slaves to the flesh anymore. We have another option now. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. You're seeking first the kingdom of God, and His kingdom is inside of each one of us in our spirit man, in Christ Jesus. That's where the kingdom resides, inside of us. And His kingdom is superior to the earthly kingdom.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? All right. Let's see. Okay. Thank you, Lord. What He wants us to see, it's in knowing Him, meaning an intimacy. You know, in John 3:16, everybody says, well, I know what that says. Okay. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, here's that belief again, believes in Him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not His will that anybody perish, even in their physical body. That was never His intent whenever He created man. He said, with long life He's given to us. Long life. Whatever we define as long life. Pastor Henry's talked about, you know, at least believe for 120. Okay. Amen. And if you want to stay longer, you can. And you can go on to be with Him whenever you're satisfied. But until you're satisfied, you can stay. Because nothing can defeat you in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, in believing, all things are possible to him who believes. So, we've got all this stuff put together. I'm going to kind of summarize it again. Everything that Christ has done on our behalf is complete It's finished. It's done. He wraps it up in a package. And that's why I call salvation the package. And we receive the whole package. And whenever we receive it according to the way that He says that we're actually receiving and believing in Him, that it's accomplished in Him, then you'll see it manifest in your personal life. How do you cause that to happen? How is His power released? It says, believe and receive and speak. Speaking is what releases His power, His life, into that situation. But first, you believe. Now, is speaking meaning meditating good? Yes. But you're not, whenever you're meditating, you're not speaking anything, taking authority. You're doing it for your own personal edification, building yourself up. That's why you need to know the scriptures, where you've had some doubt in an area. And I'm going to be perfectly honest. I had some doubts about whether or not I was hearing the Lord. Okay? Whenever you see things going 180 degrees out of the way that they're supposed to, it's time for a powwow. And it wasn't Him. He's already said, my sheep do hear my voice, and they will not follow another. He declared it. So I know that I do hear His voice. And He's confirmed it over and over again. But I was in unbelief there for a while because I looked at circumstances. And I said, I could never have been in that direction if I was hearing from You. But He confirmed, You were here. And I had a plan. And it didn't look like what you thought was the plan. So He's the one that makes all things work. Even whenever we don't hear.
Amen.
Completely. Even whenever we foul it all up. He said, I'm a big God. Put your big boy pants on and just believe in Me. And I'll take care of it. Even whenever you think everything's going downhill. It's not. Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Amen. That's how we do it. Have y'all looked at that lately? Hebrews 12:2. Now, if you're looking unto Jesus, it means that you're not looking at the circumstances any longer. You literally have to change your focus, your identity of what is going on in your life by looking away from the circumstances and all that junk and looking at Jesus and how perfect He is and how He's completely done everything on your behalf, given it to you, and given you the ability to believe that it's yours. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit is the only one who can give you your personal revelation of it. Yeah. But He says that He will lead you into all truth. So right now, He's leading you to that revelation to make it yours. To make it your personal revelation. That aha moment. How many of you, raise your hand if you can, have been reading through a scripture that you've read probably hundreds of times, and then all of a sudden it just hits you. It's like the words came off the page.
Amen.
And it's like, I never saw it like that before. That's revelation by the Holy Spirit. And today, many of you have had and will have more aha moments.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because you first see it today by the revelation of the Holy Spirit that this is who I am.
Yes.
And I don't need to let circumstances define me ever again. Because that's unbelief. I'm defined only by what the Word says about me, who I am in Christ Jesus. What I have and what I can do in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
That's it. Period. Amen. So, I'm going to pray with you corporately. And you're going to receive. you're going to receive whatever it is in your life personally or in your circumstances that you need to deal with whatever situation that was trying to get you to identify with that was not in Christ. We're going to release Jesus' life into your body, into your mind, and even into your circumstances, like Jesus did whenever He calmed the sea. He took control over that. It's real. His power is real. And it's superior to anything that you're dealing with right now. Even if it has tried to become a mountain, the mountain shall be made low, and a plain will be set forth for His people. It's like whenever Jesus said in Mark 11:23-24, believe in your heart and not doubt. You shall speak to the mountain, and it will be cast into the sea. He was showing that you have authority in Christ Jesus to do as He does today. We think about how He did whenever He walked the earth, but He says, as He is today, we are in this world. That was before He went to the cross. Keep in mind. Today, He's ascended. He's victorious. He's resurrected. All of that stuff has been dealt with. And you operate today as He is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's who you really are today. In Him, everything has been placed under your feet. You're not a victim anymore. You are the victor already in Christ Jesus. It's not that you're going to get it. You already have it. You just hadn't realized it yet. You hadn't had that revelation yet. It's been my pleasure to come back and see y'all again. And I can't tell you how much I love you. Amen. Father, I just thank You for these, Your sheep, and for those on the internet. Lord, I thank You that You have opened the ears of people's hearts today, and that Your Holy Spirit will continue to give them revelation, new revelation, into their true identity in Christ Jesus, that they really are awesome people, that You love them unconditionally. It doesn't matter about the past. Right now, Your Word is becoming truth to them. Their belief system right now in their heart is just being overcome by revelation. They can see themselves as they truly are in Christ Jesus. That they really are right now victors in everything in life. They can no longer be deceived by circumstances, by lies, of things going on in their life that try to define them. Their attention from this day forth has been placed on the victory of Jesus that has been given them at the cross and the resurrection. So Father, I thank You. Right now as I speak to health situations, cancer right now. You have to die. You cannot live anymore in any of these bodies. They've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ purchased them. They belong to Him. You have no right to stay. You have to go now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You that depression, anxiety, go now in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Father, I thank You. High blood pressure, go. Normal blood pressure is all that you have, because your cardiovascular system works exactly the way it was designed. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Heart disease has to die right now. Thank You, Father. Diabetes. That name has been placed under the name of Jesus because His name is superior. Diabetes, go right now. Release the life of Jesus into you to take care of everything, to deal with your systems, your organs, Right now, they're being renewed. Kidneys, be whole right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your love and for the power that you just released. Thank you, Father. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You know, amen says, so be it unto me.
Yes.
Amen. You're blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved. Amen. So this day forth, you are no longer a victim.